This is an extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. Topic: focus. Love or hate? Where is the focus? Mary Baker Eddy received a letter from one of her students who was working on a vision problem and was seeking suggestions on topics to research in order to solve the problem. Mary Baker Eddy's response was, "Can you focus no matter what comes your way?" Here are the words that Mary Baker Eddy uses in the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, to define the word love. There are a total of 47 words, and these are in alphabetic order. Abide, accepts, affection, amplitude, anoint, ascension, beauty, bestow, blesses, bliss, chastens, coexistence, comforter, compass, complete, crown, conception, delivers, design, divine science, encompassing, fulfills, fulfillment, fill, forgives, gives, glory, gospel, grace, heart, holiness, Holy Ghost, inspiration, loveliness, meets, mother, that's a capital M, oil, with a capital O, patience, peace, perfection, plan, purpose, rest, satisfies, sublime, salvation, and universal. There are seven terms that she uses that are the opposites of love: curse, envy, hate, malice, fear, oppression, war. Whenever we involve ourselves in any of the 47, which are the positive terms to define it, or the seven that are the opposites, then we know, or any derivatives of those words, of course, then we know whether we are loving or hating. Love is a very precise word if connected with substance, which is spiritual. And as a matter of fact, if you study science, you will find that the best way to heal materialistic love is by expressing spiritual love. So these terms are particularly important if you're trying to heal the enticements of physical love. And that's not really love. It is physical temptations by animal magnetism, which is mortal, as opposed to spiritual. On page 8 of Miscellaneous Writings, Mary Baker Eddy has an article entitled Love Your Enemies. And she states the question, who is your enemy? And basically, she says, is it just someone that you are thinking and your thought is an enemy? Of course, the real emphasis in Christian Science about personality is to separate it from any activity. Jesus, on the other hand, says that if you're thinking something, that's the same as doing it. So he's taking it a step further and saying, even if you don't involve yourself in the activity, if you're thinking about it, that is also evil. We have 1,440 minutes a day. Well, let's say within a 24-hour period. And the real question is, how much of that time are we devoting to giving? And how much of that time are we devoting to taking? Any time that is not giving is taking. There is no neutral. Even if we're sleeping, we're taking away from the opportunity of doing good things. Some people sleep 8-10 hours a day, even more. That means that 50% of those precious 1,440 minutes are gone. They're totally not available. Some people think that, well, they didn't get it done today, but they'll do it tomorrow. I'll work twice as hard. I will eliminate frivolous activity, entertainment of one sort or another, or inefficiencies. But they could do that anyway. Any way you look at it, if time is not productive today, it's lost forever. Every moment counts. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy said, the difference between success and failure is often exactly how they use their moments. And moment is usually thought of a very short period of time. I mean, it can be an instant, or it can be considered, you know, maybe 5 minutes or something. But they add up. And if you want to be successful, and you're not already, then you need to redirect your attention starting now. Spiritual love is pure. There cannot be any alloy, like when you're melting metals and combining them. You have part this and part that and so forth, or diluting a chemical. You don't have the pure item if there's any kind of dilution whatsoever. So you can't mix good and evil, love and hate, in any way, in any degree. If you're going to cultivate spiritual love, you need to cultivate it and not include any kind of a mixture. And it's true of anything in your life. If you're striving for perfection in any activity in which you're involved, you have to keep the focus on the perfection and cultivate that, exercise that, and not vary. Vladimir Ashkenazy, one of, if not the greatest pianist of all time, was asked how he could perform with such perfection, performance after performance. And his reply was very simple. Practice, 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 until the music plays me. He had to get out of the way. He had to get his personal sense of self, that something he had to do when he was performing, out of the way. His duty was one, and that was to practice the principle of what was written in the composition. He had to think like the composer. I'm sure he was an expert on the historical and the characteristics of each of the composers of which he practiced their music. We can't really appreciate what is written unless we understand the writer. That's why it's a big mistake not to study Mary Baker Eddy and what she experienced in her life so that we would have a better flavor of what it was she was writing. And of course, she was a listener, so she was having things revealed to her that someone with a less spiritual desire or nature would try to do. But we still have to learn about her, and not just about what she's writing, in order to understand the entire atmosphere that was involved. If you think about how she was being attacked all the time, and yet was able to write such spiritual things, you know that she had to get herself out of the way and let the truth pour in to her thoughts that were coming from the pureness of the seven synonymous terms. Think about your schedule. Is it like Richard Strain? He went to a practitioner that he trusted. He was at the end of his rope. He was devoting 18 hours a day away from his home, and then he had, in those 6 hours, to fit all of the personal things he needed to tend to, and sleep, and then be out the door the next day. He didn't know where to go. He felt like he was going around in circles, not making any progress. And when he laid this out to the practitioner, she had one very short sentence. A question. When do you study? Nada. He didn't study at all. Then she had one short response. If you don't study at least 5 hours a day, you will not be able to make the progress that you need to make to go up and forward. When you were attending any classes in any school at any level, were you an average student, below average, above average? Were you an A-plus student? The Bible says we should tithe. That means tenth part. People normally think that means when you earn income, you should give 10% to the church, to a church. We here at the Mary Baker Eddy Institute say that that's a big mistake. Almost every church is corrupt. They're very inefficient about how they spend their money. And giving just money is usually not the right activity. There's a department at the government called DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. The wealthiest man in the world is the one that started that. His research, and he's got very expert programmers, discovered that every single non-government organization that solicits money under the guise of being a non-profit that is going to give it for charitable purposes is a money laundering operation. The amount they actually ends up going to what they advertise for is between 0 and 5%. The other 0 to 95% is stolen. They're all corrupt. Even the Red Cross. It used to be a very charitable, worthwhile organization. Unfortunately, the wars that the government has been involved in, the United States government and all the other governments, have been an object of corruption. So there shouldn't have been any wars, let alone all of the human life that has been lost, which created a need for the Red Cross to at least give first aid to these people that were injured, if not lost their lives. But at least the purpose was a noble purpose, to help people that were the innocent victims of the corruption of the government. Really, the corruption of the individuals that were running the government, which had one purpose in mind, and that was to control the population, to steal assets from other countries, to control people worldwide. We suggest, instead of giving money to an organization that is probably going to abscond with 95 to 100% of the money, that you don't do that. One organization, they have an ad running right now, and they show children that are in desperate conditions. They do anything to try to get your compassion, to stir up your emotions, not realizing that all you're doing is making a contribution to the corrupt people that are running the organization, which hire clever advertising companies to try to get you all excited about something that is never going to happen. In other words, the money never gets to actually helping the children. There are many ways to help, but giving it to an organization that steals the money is not the way to do it. We all have 1,440 minutes a day, as has been noted. How much of that do we actually give to improving our own understanding, and how much of it do we actually give to help other people? What do we have we can give? And I'm not talking about old clothes or rusty tools or a car that doesn't run. I'm talking about things that are quality that they can use right now. How about instead of giving away your throwaway clothes, give away your new ones that you just bought? The ones that you think are so wonderful. Instead of just flipping a coin or even low value currency to someone that is homeless on the street, how about doing like someone that the Institute knows of, that was approached by somebody that was in need as they were walking to their vehicle coming out of a department store, and he was soliciting money. The guy looked okay. He didn't look like he was homeless. And so the individual asked him, well, why do you need money? He said, I had a job and I lost it, and it's been 2 days since I've had anything to eat, and I have no money. I don't even have money to put gas in my vehicle. I walked here from where I live, which isn't far away, but I didn't have money even to have gas to come here or to go look for a job, follow up on anything that might be an ad in the newspaper. He could have taken public transportation, but he didn't even have any money for that. So he asked him, what do you do? He said, I'm a handyman. I love to fix things. I have experience with electrical, plumbing, butane. I can fix anything. So the guy said, you know, I have a list of things that need repaired at my home. And he had asked him, and he said he didn't live far away. So he said, I'll follow you over to your house. The one guy was walking, because the other guy had a motorcycle, and there wasn't room on the back because he had it fixed to be able to carry objects. So he followed him over to his house. They got his motorcycle. They took it. That's what he had, a motorcycle also. He took him to a gas station and put gas in it, and then took him up to his house and showed him the list. He said, I can fix everything on here. That was a dream of an answer for the guy that needed the things done. The bottom line is, he worked for him for 3 months. And the day that he finished the list, the guy had already arranged to go to work somewhere else, a job that became available 2 days before that. Are you trying to find out the solution to the problem for someone in need? Or just trying to make an easy exit Remember the story in the Bible about the Good Samaritan? Everybody walked on the other side of the street because they didn't want to face somebody that was in need. But the Good Samaritan not only faced him, but he helped him. And he took him to a hotel and paid for his place to stay there. And he says, I'll be back if there's any more that was spent for him while he was here, and I'll pay the bill. Mary Baker Eddy says, if you're walking down the street and you see a stray dog, or you see an accident, or you see someone in need, what do you do about it? Are we giving or are we taking? How much of our 1,440 minutes do we spend taking, worried about ourselves, being fear that we don't have enough of this, that, or whatever, so we're going to take anything we can in any way we can? And the sad thing is that evil is so deceitful, we may not even be conscious of what we're doing. But we become conscious of it very quickly if we really have a goal of giving, and if we cultivate that in our schedule. I mentioned about what kind of a student were you, whether you were a C student. In the opinion of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, a tenth part is being a C student, an average student. I know someone that has given everything in their income that they don't need, which was a majority of their income. How about you? If you're average, you're probably giving nothing. Nothing. That means you're hating all the time and loving nada, none, never. How about Jesus? He was always giving. Mary Baker Eddy, always giving. And remember, every hour of the day, she devoted time to make sure that she was only thinking wholesome thoughts about everyone. And that's no easy task for most people. And imagine you're attacked all the time, like she was, and like Jesus was. Very few people expressed love to Jesus. And when he went to the crucifixion, who showed up for the trial to even send him to the crucifixion? No one. Well, I don't know. Maybe John was there. Maybe Mary Magdalene was there. It doesn't say. It just indicates in the Bible that they were both at the crucifixion. And about four other people. His mother, one of them. So three people, and I don't think it names those. Plus the three that I just mentioned. What happened to Mary Baker Eddy? When she passed, they took her picture out of the book. They destroyed all the statues in New England states that were in honor of her, including a very valuable pyramid that was built to scale to match the one in Gaza. They blew it up, buried the pieces in multiple locations, kept it all secret so it could not even be put back together. And that was the largest single piece of granite ever mined in the Granite State, which is New Hampshire. The largest piece. I mean, imagine the feat that it took to even get that delivered to where the location was going to be. And then they blew it up. They threatened everybody that lived with her that they would be excommunicated from the church if they talked about Mary Baker Eddy or even mentioned her name, and they could not publish any writings. Imagine, some of those people were with her many years, and they couldn't even publish anything to tell of the valuable experience that they had in living with one of the finest loving person that this earth ever put forth, alongside Christ Jesus. And look what they did with the Bible. They left out some of the most valuable books. King James, the King James Version. They left out some of the most valuable books. And there is not even a statement in here of his conversation with John where John asked him, is there a material body? And is there a material universe? That's hidden in a London museum. We have the information. It's on our website. You'll probably be surprised how direct the question and answers were between John and Jesus. If people that attended churches just realized what Jesus said himself, and they don't even pay attention to the statement by the Pharisee who asked him how to have eternal life, called him good master. He said, why call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. But people ignore it. They try to make Jesus to be their God instead of the real God. Jesus himself said, I am the Son of God. I am not God. Think about this. Are you a giver or a taker? Almost everyone is a full-time taker. And many of them not even being aware of how they're missing the opportunity of a lifetime to cultivate love. We have so many opportunities. There is so much need all around us. You go to any of the major cities, and boy, if you don't think there's a need, I mean, they are pathetic. Go to Russia. Check out Moscow. Go to China. You're not going to find the slums that you find in the cities of the United States. We are a third world country compared to China and Russia. The subway, the public transportation in Russia is spotless. Spotless. And the same in China. You wouldn't believe how technologically advanced China is. We have a nation of slums. And it was all planned. It was all planned. Are you focusing on love or hate? Are you focusing on giving or taking? Success in healing is directly connected to the answer. Mary Baker Eddy gives us all the tools we need. And we have other very advanced students. And by advanced, I'm talking about three in particular that had 15-minute appointments for years. And at the end of 15 minutes, the healing was complete. Wentworth Winslow alone said he was in the practice 35 years. Joel Goldsmith, 15-minute appointments. And Frederick L. Rawson. Frederick L. Rawson was able to overcome the belief of time. He could heal back in time, so the healing was effective as soon as the problem had been made known to the individual. Joel Goldsmith was asked to go into the Benevolent Association, a Christian Science nursing home in the Boston area. And when he walked into the reception area, the receptionist said, you can't go in there. He'd been called there because of one of the individuals there was his patient. She said, you can't go in there. Everybody in the whole building has a contagious disease. You go in there and you're going to walk out with the problem. He almost laughed at her. He said, how many people do you have here? She told him, several hundred. He said, you only have one problem. He went over and sat down in a quiet area. He did his work. In a few minutes, several of the nurses came out to the reception area and wanted to know what happened. They said, everybody's healed at the same time. The healing was done by somebody who recognized that it was only one problem, and he focused on seeing the nothingness of that and the wholeness of God's idea as man. And it healed the whole building full of people. The whole building. Yes, these are experts. Wentworth Winslow wrote 4 books. He's the one that wrote the story about the individual that was in desperate need and went to what is referred to as the pearly gates and knocked on the door to talk to God. And an angel answered, and he was puzzled because the guy was asking for something they didn't have. What is it that they didn't have? Something that you could run out of. He was thinking of everything on a material sense, a material basis. And God only deals in spiritual qualities. And they are available in abundance because they're infinite. Take as much as you want, or as much as you can stand to give up your matter beliefs. Wonderful writer. And the four books have very short titles, and they tell you exactly what you have to go through in your thinking process. Just the titles do. Wentworth Winslow is not the only writer. Frederick L. Rawson wrote a book, Healing or Treatment by True Prayer. It has a chapter where he lists 1,315 different ailments. It gives you a short description of the ailment, and then he spends the rest of the time, the rest of the words, are on the reverse of the problem of the ailment and how to heal it. 1,315 examples. Everything you can imagine is in there. What a wonderful thing he contributed. And you do not want to read that chapter from beginning to end, because that will only implant in your thought all of these different ailments. You only want to look at the ailment that is a problem, one at a time. Wonderful things he contributed. Another one is called Life Understood, a book by him. I think it's Life Understood from a Spiritual Perspective or something like that. He was a master electrician. People came from all over the world, big companies, for him to solve their problem. And this was 100 years ago, when their mode of transportation was not getting on a fast jet or even a slow jet. There were no jets 100 years ago, 115 or 20 years ago. Joel Goldsmith gave us many writings and many audios. That's just a small sampling. We have over 100 authors on the website, mbeinstitute.org. Over 100. Jesus gave us 41 parables. That explains how to heal. Cultivating love. Being involved actively in a life of giving. Not blindly. What is mind all about? Intelligence. Knowing. Wisdom. Capacity. Capability. Functionality. Facility. We have all those qualities. All we have to do is reflect them. All we have to do is open the door and recognize that they are available and practice them, just like Vladimir Ashkenazi on his music. Until they play us. That's what we need to do. We need to let the rules, the laws of God play us. So we don't even think about violating them. We will be so sensitive to evil that if it shows up even in a small morsel, we will recognize it. I attended a church one time, and there was a visitor, experienced practitioner, that gave a testimony, and he said he had a case that was this kind of a problem, or that kind of a problem, and so forth, gave two or three examples. And after the individual told him about the problem, they discussed a little bit about the characteristics involved. And he said, does that sound like God to you? The Bible says God is all. Mary Baker Eddy says God is all in all. All source, which includes all manifestation. And if you're being tempted by something that is not 100% perfection, as God would see it, then you're not seeing the truth. The very first quote at the beginning of the textbook is, words of Jesus, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the second one is by Shakespeare, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one is by Mary Baker Eddy, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." So she tells us that God is omnipresent, and she tells us that the laws of God are there. Are we going to let them lead us and guide us? Are we going to just be so involved like Richard Strain was? And he's on our website with the complete story. That's the only reason I mention his name, so you can check it out. Are we going to be so busy like he was that we're active 18 hours a day and getting nowhere, just going around in a circle? Most people are not even disciplined enough to save anything from their paycheck if they're working or if they're on retirement, whatever. They spend it all. And they can't wait for the next date to come up so they can get another infusion. Is that how you're living? That's not control. That's being a slave. One of the Christian Science organizations had a very fine individual that started it. And the son did an audio recording. And he said, "Think of your body as being your servant. You need to go here and do this, go there and do that, and so forth. Don't let your body make you the servant. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, I'm going to go to bed and sleep it off or whatever." He said, "You're the one in charge. Be in charge. Make your body your slave. Talk to it if you need to. Out loud, if you're in a position where you can do that and not have other people around and hearing you and so forth. Tell it, 'I'm not going to accept this. You're not going to rob me of that many hours of sleep every night. I've got to be up and doing.'" Mary Baker Eddy composed a list of 39 topics that everybody living in her home needed to study every single day. And the very first one begins with a paragraph title, a topic title that says, "Wait for your reward." And it doesn't mean to wait and do nothing and hope that something is going to solve your problem for you while you're doing nothing. Wait for your reward means we have to be working diligently to solve the problem. And as we do that and are perseverant, then things are happening behind the scenes. And that's what we need to do. We need to be working behind the scenes, doing good things, thinking good things. Like Shakespeare says, "Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And like Jesus says, are we searching for the truth in everything we think, say, and do? And Jesus said, thinking about something is the same as doing it. So if you're thinking evil thoughts, you've already committed a sin. She said, "We are barraged," this is Mary Baker Eddy, "we are barraged with evil thoughts so frequently that we need to make sure we have a firm, perfect spiritual motto and thought to refer to." Now, she gave us a lot of clues. The scientific statement of being is a wonderful thing. I know someone that took that statement and they converted where it says matter and man to the specific situation at hand. If you fell down and broke your arm, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of a broken arm. Or there's an auto accident. There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of an automobile accident or a motorcycle accident or whatever it is, somebody getting their arm burned while they're cooking. It can be any problem whatsoever. And wherever it talks about man, talk about, therefore, I am not material, I am spiritual. Or you can say man, and then say, and I am an individual manifestation of man, and therefore, I am not material, I am spiritual. That is a very usable scientific statement. And she's got the perfect title, Scientific Statement of Being. We have exactly the tools we need already, totally available on the website. We even have a link to a complete presentation on how to heal anything that comes your way, anything. If you follow the procedure that is there, you can expect success because it's built on an elaborated method that was utilized by 85 people that are outlined and detailed in the 18th chapter of the textbook. The textbook, which has 18 chapters, and the 18th chapter is on fruitage. They all tell you what they did in order to heal. We have those all detailed. There's 85 of them, and they had 486 healings together, the 85 of them. So it was just under, I think it's just under 6 healings apiece. And they were looking to solve one problem. But they had 5 other ones that were solved just because they were spiritualizing their nature and their whole framework of thinking. Mary Baker Eddy, in her last class of 1898, after the third day, and remember, she hand-selected every single one of these people. You could not come to her final class unless she approved it. On the third day, she said, now when you come back tomorrow, I want you to be reporting a healing that you were involved in between now and then. They were so enlightened with an expanded vision of God that they could do it. And they did it. Are we giving or are we taking? Are we a C student or are we striving to be better? A B or an A or an A+. And don't worry about competing with someone else. Although getting together to discuss Christian Science is not a way to do it. Mary Baker Eddy specifically states that we all have to work out our own salvation. And discussing opinions of various Christian Scientists is not the way to do it. She gives us the truth in her writings. And she gives us the important parts of the Bible that she translates for us, interprets in the textbook. And the glossary is of immeasurable value. There's 144 different topics that are covered there. It's an exact 12x12 matrix. There's only one person I know of that was able to decipher that glossary. And he has been a friend of the Institute for many years. And in his writings, he shows you how to do it. How to identify exactly the 144 topics. Because if you count through them, there's not exactly 144 there. But he tells you how it comes out, the 144, if you know how to associate them and group them and parse them. We do not have to accept the party line. The party line is a common thing that attorneys talk about. That's saying, well, this is what we're going to make public. This is what we're going to make available to the public. But the real truth is this other story. The whole profession is built on deception. It's controlled by the UK. The US attorneys are controlled by the UK. They never gave up possession of controlling the United States of America. They've been controlling in every sense. We established our independence, and, of course, before that. That's why people came over here, to get away from that tyranny. But they weren't successful. It's time now. We have to think about what was said about how to achieve success. Good men, what are they doing? Evil succeeds, triumphs, when good men that know there's a problem, but do nothing about it. That's the bottom line. Are you going to be one that does something about it? You can be very busy just doing mental treatments, but you also need to take practical steps. Before the last election, we told you resources where you could find out some very valuable information, where you could be involved in helping the right people get elected. Did you do anything about it? Are you even looking at the website? We get people tell us that the first thing they do in the morning is go to our website. And yet, are they living a life of giving? Rarely does anyone even make a contribution to the website. They're blocking themselves from their future progress. Rebecca Reddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Infinite do-nothingness is concrete failure. It will get you nowhere. Every single person that has been successful on their own right has faced a lot of challenges. If you don't know how to get up once you've been knocked down, or you don't know how to properly assess the past, when you've been unsuccessful, then you're not using the intelligence that is available for you to reflect. There is no excuse for being a hater if you realize that you're tearing yourself apart. A hater tears himself apart, not the object of their hate. You destroy yourself. And what happens if you're a lover? If you have a life of giving, then you're building up yourself. Mary Baker Eddy says, the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. Every day, it would be constructive if you would make a list of what you did that day that was making a genuine effort to give intelligently. We would have absolutely no homeless people. And I'm not talking about illegal people that are trying to tear our country apart. And we apparently have some 50 million of those here. Out of about, what do we have, 300 million? I haven't looked lately to see what exactly the population is, but 50 million. We're talking about 15%. I mean, we've got a serious problem with the population has come here illegally and are being funded generously by our tax dollars. Fortunately, there's good things happening along that line where it's being cut off. But the new administration has been in for 11 months. Plenty of time to deport millions and millions of people. Eisenhower did it. First thing he did when he got in office, went through the population and found all the people that were illegal, that shouldn't be here, and he deported them. It's a money laundering operation. That's why they were invited here, to either corrupt our elections or to tear down the country. They burned the cities. They're all paid to do it. We have to decide, are we going to be giving or taking? Are we going to be loving or hating? Are we going to be material or spiritual? Are we going to look with the eyes of God and listen with the ears of God, the hearing capability? Are we going to be just as human as we can possibly be, which means making many mistakes over and over and over again? It's up to us. What kind of a country do we want to live in? What kind of a life do we want to have? What kind of discord do we want to have in our life? Or do we really want harmony? And are we willing to do something? Are we willing to invest something to make it happen? Or we just point the finger and hope the other guy's going to do it and we get a free ride? Whether we are living a life of giving and loving, or whether we are living a life of taking and hating, that is the key that is going to be the foundation for your future. Whether it's low down in where it's hot, or up where it's heavenly. And I'm talking about the mental elevation, not the physical. Mary Baker Eddy said, someday we will be looking out from the stars. You can interpret that a variety of ways. But are we even worthy to be looking out from the stars? What have we done to deserve it? This Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment has been on the topic of focus. Love or hate? Where is the focus? This prayer treatment will close by the resuscitation of the prayer by Mary Baker Eddy that is entitled Diapason of Heaven with a Focus on Love. Following that, there will just be the date and the time, so it will be a record of when this recording was made. Here is the Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy with a Focus on Love. Declare often, love is my God, and my God is love. Good is my God, and my good is love. Love is my God, and my love is good. Love is my principle, and my principle is love. Love is the law of my being. Divine love is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. This is the Word of God. Amen. It is Monday, December 1, 2025, at 10:52, and this has been a prayer treatment extemporaneous on the topic of focus, love or hate. Where is the focus? Thank you for listening. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. The end.